Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Tuesday. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride as we continue to sort out what was the eighth straight win for your Houston Texans last night. And so before we switch gears or do anything else, we still got some calls on the board and some people that want to get in here. Eric, you want to get in here on Deshaun Watson. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Great show. I just have a concern about... Do y'all think the Texans are running Deshaun too much like the Redskins did to RG3? And with the cap money that the Cowboys have next year, besides Earl Thomas, who do you think they can sign with all that money? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Do I think that the Texans are running Deshaun Watson like RG3? No. I think they had a design run, and even when Jason Witten broke it down last night, he talked about the fact that they use the tight end to set the edge or to get to the edge to block on the run. So you don't just have – they didn't expose Deshaun Watson on the run. That was part of the problem with RG3. And part of the problem with RG3 is he exposed himself. He would just get out and run. It wasn't designed runs necessarily. He would just take off. He wouldn't slide. He'd try to get extra yardage. So, no, there was a worry for a while for me and on this team early on that I was worried Deshaun Watson might be the next David Carr because he'd be so gun shy because this offensive line was looking like they were going to get him murdered the first 3 weeks. But no, any quarterback that runs, whether it be Lamar Jackson, whether it be Deshaun Watson, whether it be Andrew Luck likes to get out and run a little bit. I mean, any NFL quarterback that runs is taking that chance. So you have to be careful. You have to play. You have to run smart. You have to get out of bounds. You have to slide. You have to do those things. And you can manage that. You can be a running quarterback in the NFL if you're smart about it.
I will tell you this too.
RG3 was never very smart about it.
I'll tell you this. Sometimes
he was brittle.
When Bill O'Brien is on the sideline and he sees that the play is just falling apart and Deshaun Watson has to run, I bet you sometimes Bill O'Brien is on the sideline cringing like, oh man, the play failed and now Deshaun has to run. Please don't get hurt, you know?
Because I think to what I was saying earlier, I think they learned their lesson along the streak. They learned their lesson that even when they were winning games, he was taking too much of a beating. You had the punctured lung. You had all the injuries that he had and he sustained when you realized you keep doing this over a long stretch of time and you're not going to have this guy around long term to be your franchise quarterback. And I think you're right, Nick. I think part of that too is now O'Brien has learned his lesson too to go, I don't want him running. I'm not going to call plays for him as designed runs because I can't risk him taking the punishment like a Mariota when you really could have some serious things come down where it could affect him long term. So I think they've learned the lesson. All we were saying about is they've learned along the way with every win. They've gotten better. They've made adjustments. They've made changes. Barry was talking about the play calling as well. I think this is just another one of those things where Deshaun has learned and the offense has learned that in order to be successful long and short term, they can't afford to have that guy vulnerable and taking the shots that he still took a couple last night. Cowboys draft, though, by the way, I don't care.
Yes. The what?
The Cowboys free agency and draft. I don't care.
Well, I think from that perspective, I was going to say receiver, and I know they went out and got Amari Cooper, and I know he's been playing well the last couple of weeks, but I still think you need to get Dak more weapons in that passing attack.
Tight end is
than
big.
What they have. Obviously, they're okay and on the offensive line, although it's taken a step back. Mm-hmm. Running back, they're set. Quarterback, they're fine. defensive side of the ball, yeah, going out and getting Earl Thomas, you might need somebody to replace Sean Lee because he just can't stay healthy. Now, Vander Esch has played great. He's up for Rookie of the Year probably, but you could use some more depth there too. You went out and got him, and that's great. But defensively, though, this hasn't been a bad defense at all. So I don't know. I mean, there's obviously holes, but my first thing would be to get Dak some weapons.
I think you need a replacement for Jason Witten. I think, you know, you went out and you gave up a first to get Cooper, so you don't have a first round pick. And I think that, you know, Travis Frederick will, if he comes back, and assuming that he'll eventually be get to the point, regardless of where he is with his illness, that he's able to play again, that will help immensely. And I think that tight end is something where you talk about a weapon and also a safety valve for a Dak. You need a guy where he, in the past, he knew if things were falling apart, he could go to Jason Witten and get him 6-7 yards, or, you know, at least save him from a taking a play for a loss. I think they need a quality replacement at tight end. And I think that if you can get, like you said, a second receiver, I think that would be great, because you're overall, you're right. The defense has really played well. And it, you know, you got those two linebackers, because don't forget Smith now is healthy. So between Smith and Vander Esch, you've got two guys that are really quality that help and bolster the front seven. A secondary hasn't played that bad, but I think overall you're right. I think offensively, anywhere that they can improve, depth and maybe a quick third down type back, a slot receiver, although you got Beasley.
I mean, they're stout against the run. There's no doubt about that. They could use some help in the secondary, but he said going out and getting an Earl Thomas, other than that, well, if you add Earl Thomas, then your secondary gets better. And they're not bad in the secondary. They're just not.
And stopping the run gets better, average. Too, because Earl Thomas will come up and bring the wood from the run. Yeah.
But, I mean, they're you know, they're probably a top five run defense, probably a top 20 defense against the pass. So I think you could add some depth in the or add Earl Thomas in the secondary. And, you know, again, get Dak weapons, whether it be at tight end or another receiver.
But here's the other thing. Earl Thomas has got to be healthy, too.
Yeah.
Because that was a tough injury. So you
and boy,
make sure
do I hope
okay.
Jason Witten is staying off Twitter. Because boy, did he get killed.
He's not great at it, to be sure. But he didn't bother me last night.
Well, he got killed last night because he said the Texans are playing a pro-style offense. And it was just like one after the other, like in the hundreds of tweets.
I did see
one. It's an NFL game. Aren't they all playing pro-style offense? And, oh, he was just getting crushed.
Yeah, well, I think that what they mean by that is he meant the packages that are being used, not
but people on Twitter don't care.
Yeah, right. He did take some heat along with what's his name? Who's partner?
Joe
Tessitore and Booger McFarland, because they were all bashing the Big 12, and people were upset about that.
I'm gonna tell you what bothered me right off the get go when there's a national TV audience. Joe Tessitore goes, Watson drops back to pass and hits Nuke Hopkins, and I'm going, 3/4 of the people don't know who the hell you're talking about right now. Stop with the nicknames early on and just say DeAndre Hopkins.
That does bother you because you've brought it up before.
Yes, I have, and it bothers me okay. From a broadcasting perspective. All right, Clarence, we see you. We'll get to you next. Continue to roll on, and we appreciate you being along for the ride. HR&P listener line, if you want to join Clarence, 713-780-3776. And if you don't feel like talking, you can text it. And also hit us up on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number 2, 3-hour show. We've been talking a lot about the Texans because, of course, why wouldn't you when they've won 8 in a row? And on national TV last night, they took care of their business against the Tennessee Titans. Now have a 2-game lead in the division as they continue to roll on and get ready for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, which may be the toughest game left on their schedule, fellas, because...
I think the Colts is.
That's true. I would give you that. But I would say when we looked at this a couple weeks ago, we were looking at Eagles, Jags... And now, basically, it looks like it's Colts and Browns in their remaining game.
Yeah, I mean the Colts are no pushover. That's for sure.
No,
They're not a given. I mean, I still don't think they're a great football team. They've got some young, good young players, Chubb and obviously Baker Mayfield and I just don't know. I don't.
They're a playoff team, right?
Yeah, where you have P. Rain.
That's right.
You might be right. I mean, you might be right, though, because you want to say Philly, but Philly's just so up and down, and they escape the Giants barely. Of course, the Texans lost
to the Giants.
The
thing is, when you play them, if they still are in their divisional race, then they are going to come to play.
Yeah.
As opposed to Jacksonville, who's already folded up their tents and gone home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, at the start of the year, you looked at that late in the season and went, wow, if they're going to be in it, that Jacksonville game is going to be big at the end of the year.
It's crazy to think, though, that it is one of their more difficult remaining games, yeah. The Browns. Crazy.
All right, Clarence wants to get in here. It says Texans win, Barry. I'm not going to believe that 100%, but we'll bring him in anyway. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? Hope your holiday was very good, very good.
Back at you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. The Texans played a very great game last night. I'm not even going to take away from that offense, defense, and special teams. Great game. That being said, I still don't trust them for some reason. It's like I want to. Like I really want to. But I still don't trust them. I mean, Barry said a couple of weeks back that he had them 8th in their power ranking. Last week, ESPN had them 8th. And this week, they had them 8th. Behind a bad loss Steelers team. And I'm figuring that everyone else thinks the same way, that like, okay, you reeled off 8 games in a row, a couple of jinky wins, but it's still 8 wins. You are, you reckon you are. But it's still, it's just, I see the only way I can trust them, their playoff team, they need to go to the second round and whoop up on either the Patriots or the Chiefs or whoever they're playing. That's the only way I could trust this team. What are your guys' opinions?
Appreciate the call, buddy, as always. All right, so I get this, and Joel and I have done our top 10 so that you guys can make fun of me again, and then in a week or so be like, oh, he was right. But the Texans team is, no, I still don't know if I trust them in the playoffs because they're probably going to be playing a team that's better than them because there are still plenty of teams in the NFL that are better than this Texans team is. But here's the thing is they just keep winning. And I'll give you a perfect example of how just perception is everything. So if I told you who's better, the Chargers or the Texans, who would you take?
I mean, it's a tough call. It's a tough call, but I think I still might take the Chargers.
Of course, because everybody goes, "Ooh, it's the Chargers. They're 8-3. They're on fire. Any other division, they would be leading, but they're, you know, they're second in their division. That's great." Do you know who the Chargers have beat this year? The Bills, the Niners, the Raiders twice, the Browns, the Titans. They have a good win against the
and
Seahawks.
That might be their best win of the year. Yeah,
no, the Seahawks.
That's what I'm saying.
And the Cardinals.
Yeah,
they've lost to two good teams in the Chiefs and the Rams and the Broncos. So you tell me. I mean, I wonder if people are pooping on the Chargers as much as the Texans. And I can tell you nationally, they're not. Everyone's in love with the Chargers. And everyone's saying, watch out for the Chargers. But who the hell have the Chargers beat that you would make you think that they're so much better than the Texans are? And I you could say the same thing in reverse. Who the hell have the Texans beat? And what kind of wins have they had that's impressive to you? But that's the thing, is it's all perception. I mean, you're playing. You have to play the schedule that's in front of you, and the Chargers have lost to two really good teams and one big team in the Broncos.
And I think I would agree that most people in the country, if you exclude Texas and the Houston fan base, that they would agree with Joel. And I would tend to pick the Chargers too. But I think from a national perspective, yeah, they're not going to get that respect just yet. The Texans need to get some wins, like in the playoffs, before they even come close to getting that respect, in my opinion.
Well, let's play the same game with the Steelers. Steelers are obviously better. I have the Steelers. Now, I'm not going to lie. I have both the Steelers and the Chargers ahead of the Texans in my rankings. But who have the Steelers really beat that impresses you? They've tied with the Browns. They lost to the Chiefs and the Ravens. And then they just lost to the Broncos. And that game wasn't really even close. I mean, that down the last drive. But
the Steelers should have won that Broncos game.
With that interception?
Not forget the interception. The one where he's going into the end zone and he fumbles on the goal line and fumbles it through the end zone. Otherwise, they get points there. They had the field goal blocked.
Yeah,
there were
true.
Several points. They left 10 to 17 points, depending how you look at it on the table.
And still lost. Yeah. So here are their wins. They lost to the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Broncos, and tied the Browns. They beat the Bucks. the Falcons, the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens, the Panthers, and the Jags. The Panthers might be their best win on there. I don't think, I mean, the Bengals at one point were okay. The Falcons are a shell of themselves. They blew them out, but they're a shell of what they were. I mean, there's just no, so some of these teams that are around the Texans at 8-3, the Chargers, the Steelers, and the there's no sexy wins for any of these teams. There's really not. You know, the best 8-3 team in the NFL, without a doubt, is the Patriots. When you look at what their schedule is, mm-hmm. now they have some quality wins because they've beaten the Texans, who's a top 10 team. They've beaten the Colts. They've beaten the Chiefs. So
they beat the Bears.
They beat the Bears.
In Chicago.
They do have, now their losses are bad, though. They lost to the Jags, yeah. the Titans, and the Lions.
Yeah.
So none of these teams are just, if you want to talk about the upper echelon, I mean, there's no arguing the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Rams.
We've said it all year.
But everybody else, once those three, yep. you could pretty much lump these in however you wanted to and make a case for any of those teams being 4-10.
Because there's a case to be made that aside from those top three teams, there's a lot of parity, but it is weak as the brand of football has been throughout the league, except for those top three teams. Because there's all this parity, but there's also a lot of bad football being played because you look at it and say, as an outsider looking at the whole schedule, when have you can you go back in a year in time and say that one team rattled off 9 in a row, another team rattled off 8 in a row, and another team rattled off 7 in a row? Three teams with streaks that long shouldn't happen if the whole league is more balanced.
Nope.
It's just not this year.
Nope. I mean, it's there's three elite teams, and then yep. there's a group of about 5 to 6
good teams.
Really good teams.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And maybe we'll do that next segment. We can do our top 10 and go over that, because I'm sure our top three are probably the same or close to it,
mm-hmm.
just depending on the order.
You and I have said all along, those three teams are the elite.
Sure.
So, yeah, regardless of the order, you're probably right.
Yeah. All right, you know what I know I'm right about as well, is where to get your jewelry for the holiday season. It is upon us, and I want you to make your wife or significant other happy, and the best way to do that is jewelry. And the best place, hands down, the best place to get jewelry in this city is Mark Klein and Klein's Fine Jewelry. They are independently owned. Mark is this business has been around since 1969. It's a family business. And listen, I don't want you to go to the mall and waste your money, because that is exactly what you're doing when you go to these big box stores and look at diamonds and buy jewelry from them. The markup is ridiculous. You don't get that at Klein's Fine Jewelry, man. And you're not around since 1969 if that's what you're doing to folks. They have rings, they have pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches. You name it, they have it. And if they don't have it and there's something specific that she wants, they can make it. That's what they did for me and my wife. I promised my wife a new ring on our 10-year anniversary. And I had to put that off a couple years. But when I finally got around to it, man, there was no question. I went to Klein's Fine Jewelry. I called Mark. I said, this is what she wants. Can you help me find this diamond in this size and make this ring for her? And he did both. And he saved me money. And that's the truth. In fact, if you guys were aware, I talked about it long before Mark started advertising on this show. And so it's one of those things where he puts his money where his mouth is, so to speak. He's going to save you a ton of money. The quality and the value is outstanding. And you can call him, and he'll quote you a price over the phone. You don't get that anywhere else. Just call Mark. This is his cell phone number, 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. What do you have to lose? Just call him and say, hey, this is what my wife is looking for. What are you going to charge me? Mark's going to tell you, and it's going to be the best price, hands down, in the city of Houston. So check it out. Go online as well. They're at KleinsJewelry.com online, KleinsJewelry.com. And if you want to go in and see what they have, they're at 5868 Westheimer. But call him first. Just call him. That's the best way to do it. It's Klein's Jewelry, 832-316-1388. Make the wife happy this holiday season at Klein's Jewelry.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. That means the second half is upon us, and we are ready to go on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, Joel, Tuesdays are always good as we prepare for Way Back Wednesday, and they're always better when we're coming off a Texans win on Monday Night Football. where a lot of people are in a good mood and everyone wants to talk a little bit about the gridiron. So we've been doing that for the majority of the first half of the show, but still plenty more to get to as we continue to roll on.
Text line, somebody said Way Back Wednesday should be songs that you think Bob McNair would have liked.
Too depressing.
Or there's just a couple of different ways you could go with that, and not all of them are good.
He seems like it would be either like Bach and Beethoven, Tchaikovsky and stuff like that.
Amy Grant.
I'm gonna be the dumb guy. I don't
very religious and
okay.
Lovey.
Gotcha.
Oh, at least you didn't know who she was.
No idea.
Good. She married Clint Black.
So she ain't no Ed Sullivan, is what you're saying.
No one is.
Somebody texted at I don't know who texted this, but somebody said, not that I'm on one side or the other, but did y'all see those Jesus freaks go after Kurt Lowe yesterday? LOL, he got into it with Ellen's producer.
Kind of got used, too. Kind of got exposed and blasted. And
oh, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
And lost his job because of
a nicer guy.
I don't know if I'm going to say a job. I don't exactly know what House of Houston is. I don't know if he was getting paid to be the columnist that he said he was. But I did reach out to him and say, what the heck happened? What was going on?
I was actually starting to feel bad for what I did. But after that, I was like,
he kind of got it. He got
what he deserved.
Yeah,
he got what he deserved.
So he asked for it.
Basically, what happened was somebody, the Ellen's producer, tweeted something. And I think his response was, yeah, you're over here.
I got you. Hang on a second. Ellen's producer tweeted out, everybody on the internet, it's a shame that there are people on the internet these days claiming to be religious when they're not.
Yeah.
So he said, Twitter is loaded with horrible people who pretend to be religious.
I shared that tweet, but that was someone else. That wasn't Kurt Lowe, right?
No, this is the producer for the Ellen DeGeneres show. Says Twitter's loaded with horrible people who pretend to be religious. I don't even know why Kurt Lowe would be following this guy or have seen this tweet, but he responded to the guy by saying, says the man who hates God as he works for a homosexual. And that is what got him.
Yeah, that's probably going to get you in trouble or fired if that was his job.
So then he tagged a Bible verse to support his feelings. To which at that point, the House of Houston, where Kurt Lowe was authoring, I guess we'll call them blogs or columns, he's no longer a contributor with us. His words do not represent our views and our parent company, Fansided Views. We'd like to apologize as his words were said while he was representing us. And so the producer for Ellen was not done and said to Kurt Lowe, may want to change your bio because you don't have a job anymore, basically. And then... basically, it got real messy.
No. As bad as his grammar, writing, and punctuation is, do you honestly think he was earning a living doing that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Do you think he was getting paid for the columns?
Even if he was, that's not a big website.
Yeah, even if he was.
Sorry.
House of Houston.
Now, he's had some health issues, so I don't know what he does for a job or work or whatever like that. But I would think that if he's contributing to a website, there has to be some kind of payment.
It's Fansided, dude. They're not. There's only certain people that are getting paid. It's at the very top.
I don't know, so I'm asking you.
Yeah.
When you have those blog sites, like, I don't know, but even like Bulls on Parade, those are all fan blogs.
Right. They're a network.
There might be some pay involved, but I would imagine it's $10, $15, something like that, $20, $25 for an article or whatever. At the most, and not maybe all the time, and it might be based on the number of views that your article gets. But those aren't going to be, that's not a sustainable model for, you know, a job.
Right.
It's something where you're building a resume and you're trying to get into the business, and it's a great way to get stuff out there and written and build up some popularity.
Okay.
Why did you make that face?
Because as we were talking, I decided the guy's name is Andy Lassner, and he's the executive producer for The Ellen Show. And a lesson to be learned here for Kurt Lowe and others is in your bio on your Twitter page, you should probably put, my views expressed here do not reflect those of, and then put your
I don't
job.
Know if that saves him, though.
I don't say that it necessarily saves him, but what I was getting at, too, is it helps, right?
That's true.
And here's the other thing. Based on his last tweet 10 minutes ago, I would say it's not over yet because His last tweet was, there's someone on Twitter who has been spewing hateful and vile homophobia for over 24 hours now. I've reported him every way under every category, and at Twitter support has come back every time saying there are no violations. So yeah, apparently blatant homophobia is okay on here. I would say, Kurt Lowe, you might not be done.
Ugh, he's going to kick the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is the tweet said that the Jesus freaks, quote unquote, I'm not calling them that. That is what the text said. Don't start. Listen.
Yeah.
Don't start sending me hateful stuff. I'm just reading what the texter said. But he said that now the very religious people are going after Kurt Lowe, which makes no sense to me because that's who he is purporting to represent.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the very religious people.
I would think it would be the opposite. Right. I don't know, but
it would be both because some religious people understand. Like, there's some people that claim to be religious and are okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. So it just kind of depends. Exactly.
Thank you to Jason Abair, by the way, who points out Lisa Hartman, who used to be really hot back in the day.
Was she
married Clint Black? Amy Grant is married to Vince Gill, another country performer. I get them all mixed up because I don't listen to country music.
You ever seen someone just hanging on desperately to their beliefs? Just clinging, and I'm not talking about Kurt Lowe.
I thought you were going back to Kurt Lowe.
No, I'm not talking about Kurt Lowe. I'm talking about P. Randizzle.
Is he going back to the Browns?
He is clinging to this Browns fantasy. He said, joking aside, I still feel like the Browns are not to be counted completely out. The team is actually playing better after the coaches left. They're done, though. They're done. Patrick, you're not winning this bet. We've acknowledged that the Browns are better than what we thought they would be and that people can't just – it's an automatic W. But, yeah, they are counted out. They're done. The Browns aren't making the playoffs. So stop clinging to the notion that they are.
Is he just be prepared, a Browns fan?
Be prepared to spend every cent of that $50 at Cowboys
and
Indians.
Yeah, Barry and Patrick made a bet.
Every penny.
And Patrick said the Browns were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and as soon as he said it, I was like, I will take that bet in a heartbeat.
I don't take bets because I always lose them, honestly.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm not a gambling man. I thought you
were the
guru.
I thought you were the guy that was going to replace...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I am. I'm definitely replacing R.J. Bell on the Blitz. I'm going to be the gambling...
Yeah, weren't you saying the other night that you were actually betting college basketball games?
AJ just needs to come around and just let me go ahead and consume that segment. He's being very difficult.
He's so worried you're going to get all his limelight.
Yeah.
And shine. He doesn't want to see you shine like a diamond.
Yeah, and he should want... to see me grow.
He should want to see you succeed. We all do. We all want everybody around here to be successful, except AJ. He can't stand it when you shine.
It's messed up is what
it is. I get it, man. I get it. I know. Somebody texted the show and asked, Joel, did you see the old man put some guy in a headlock at the Packers-Vikings game?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, and KJ, again...
I missed it.
...ropes Packer fans into one greedy guy.
They're all
idiots. That was a great tweet.
Didn't want to fight.
Good job, KJ.
Do y'all lift at all? I'm like, seriously, bro? So you got one guy that's a buck five
that was a great
wet
tweet.
And a grandpa that puts him in a headlock, and that's all Packer fans. So have your fun. But... yeah, I mean, old man was, and the funny thing was, if you listen to the audio of it, the guy was, I guess, every time.
I'm going
to
whoop your ass, don't you know? Like you can't sound tough as a Green Bay guy.
Oh, I think there are a few that you could, but at the same time, that sounds more like you're up there in Canada, than it does in the Midwest. But still, the guy goes, basically, the old guy looks at him at one point and just goes, you keep doing that, I'm going to whoop your ass. Because I guess he was like screaming every time the Packers had the ball. Like when Rodgers had the ball, he'd, ooh, he goes, you do that, woo, one more time. And Grandpa's like 80, looks at him and goes, do it one more time, I'm going to whoop your ass.
And he did?
And he put him in a headlock.
Oh.
I mean, the guy obviously didn't want to hit the
old man
back.
If an old man puts you in a headlock, you're not punching him?
No.
Wait, we need to get to the bottom of this next segment.
Okay.
I have so many questions because.
He's already, you're free and clear. He laid hands on you.
Yeah, but he's an old man.
If an old
dude.
Man puts me in a headlock,
just look at the video before. Look at the video.
An old man is getting punched.
I just don't hit him in the pacemaker.
Yeah, don't do that.
And by the way,
where's the video?
New
at? Where
video
can I find
has
this?
Surfaced on that front.
Where can I
too?
Find the video?
I'll send you the link.
And Jimbo Fisher's nephew.
Oh yeah, if that guy died. Jimbo Fisher's nephew would be in some serious trouble. That's not a joke.
No, not anymore. But if you see the video that they released today,
no,
he
I didn't
never
see that.
Punched him. He pushed him.
Oh, so
but it was
a lie.
In the middle of a melee. And then he got sucker punched by one of the defensive backs for LSU and got stuck pretty good.
Did he? Oh, I want to see that video, too.
I'll show it to you. We'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still hour number two of the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Remember, top of the hour, that the Sports Mappers will be joining us on 94.1 FM and then simulcasting all the way through the Blitz at 7, all the way to 7 p.m. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about this ridiculously and KJ stereotypical video categorizing Packer fans as non-lifting and weak because Grandpa Viking decided to put a headlock on an ignorant fan.
Did you send me the video?
It's on the it's under the audio portion of the rundown, sir.
Okay.
So yeah, you can just give it a click. And he also sent us a link to the video of Jimbo Fisher's nephew.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That one I do want to see.
Yeah, so there's different angles that have come out today, and because of it, I believe that the police in College Station have said that they will press no further charges or go in. That Craig Thorpe actually recanted his statement about being punched.
I'm punching this old man if he does this to me.
See, let's get this old man.
I'm fighting
because both of you guys are despicable first, for willing to punch a senior citizen.
So,
I'm just saying.
So, okay. First of all, this, and I far be it from me to defend Packer fans.
Yeah.
Based on how you reacted to just the description of the video. Yeah, I get that.
Far be it from me to defend Packer fans. But this guy bought his ticket and is cheering for his team. And the old man is clearly telling him, stop hollering at a football game. Stop hollering. I would be like, old man, you can go to hell. And if you go sooner rather than later, that's fine by me. But I bought this ticket and I'm going to scream and holler for my football team. So the old man tries to punch the guy. First of all,
well, he
throws a punch, but it's an old man punch. So
right.
He's like, it's right there. So, okay. So no, it wasn't a punch. My bad.
Yeah.
So he's mimicking the guy, the Packer fan, putting his hands over his mouth, you know, cause you want to be louder. So you cup
megaphone,
your hands.
Like, yeah.
So the old man's like, you're doing that. And the Packer fan says, yeah, I can do that. And when he puts his hands up to his mouth, the old man grabs his hand to pull it away from his mouth, like to get him to stop doing that. At that point, all bets are off.
Once
you touch me physically, be prepared to get punched. I don't care if you're 8 or 80.
He's fragile. He looks like he weighs 35 pounds.
I wouldn't punch an 8-year-old. I would punch an 80-year-old
man. He looks like he weighs 35 pounds.
Do you know what? Then don't go putting your hands on grown-ass men if you don't want to get punched. So then I do feel bad for the Packer guy because he's surrounded by Vikings fans and he's getting manhandled by Wilford Brimley, essentially. Like this, the diabetes oatmeal guy is just manhandling him. And then everybody just kind of sits down and goes back to doing what they're doing. Yeah, I would beat the crap out of that old man.
I would, because of his age, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt to just grab him first and be like, slow down, old man. You better check yourself.
Grab him where?
Just like grab his arms.
Grab his throat.
And restrain
him. Grab him right by his throat. Grab him in his neck.
That's...
Why would you let an old man put his hands on you?
Just try to
because you
know push
what,
him
you
off.
Gotta give him the benefit of the doubt because you realize you could do some serious damage to the guy.
Then don't go grabbing people if you got bad hips and you're prone to breaking
Barry,
them.
Back in the day where he's coming from, you probably believed that was a little bit more prevalent and it didn't result in fisticuffs.
But
my point is,
you can't go around putting your hands on people and not expect to catch an ass whooping when you do it. I don't care how old you are. When I'm 70 years old, if I grab a grown-ass man's hand and try to put it behind his back and then get him in a headlock and he doesn't punch me, I'm going to be like, he's a bitch. You totally should have punched my old ass if I did that to you. No, I'm sorry. And don't start sending me all your texts and old people. Old people don't even know how to send texts, so I'm not worried about
That's
it. Old people aren't on Twitter. They don't know how to text and all that. I don't even think jitterbugs can text, can they? Those jitterbug
phones?
Now, wait a minute.
Barry Warner can text. So
I was
you
just
going to
say, if Barry Warner came
can
at
get
you,
technology.
I would punch Barry Warner in the
you
face
would punch
if he put
Barry
me in a headlock. Absolutely.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I don't care.
Shut your mouth.
He'd be Hall of Fame punched in the face.
No. Certain technology he can't figure out that you're not spying on him at a baseball game.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I would, no. don't. You just can't go around touching people like that. That's just not cool. You can't do that. Like, he was very violent with that poor Packer fan. I feel bad for that young cheesehead.
Oh, shut it's the also, hell up. You don't feel bad.
It's also a bad second. Situation to be in because it's like, man, you're going to look bad if you punch an old man. All jokes yes. aside, you're going to look like an a-hole.
In any situation, by
but
the way.
But that old man is like being violent. He's not just
that wasn't
messing
that violent.
Around.
But he just kind of put his...
He got him in an old wrestling sleeper hold with the one arm up. You can't
his
do
arms
nothing
are
with
so
it.
Fragile. He can't squeeze
you
anything.
You got to believe that a neck brace was squeezing harder than a freaking what he was doing to that guy's neck.
I don't know. These old men, like these old World War II vets. Yeah, they're like, yeah, they got those big fat fingers
I was
and hands.
Say, the knuckles
can
do some damage because they're all arthritic and they got like marbles in their
don't
knuckles.
Don't think for 1 second that they probably didn't leave a mark on his neck.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
Oh, look, now all the old people are calling, I'm your Huckleberry. Look, I know you're about to be at Luby's, Brian, but let's take Brian's call. Let's take Brian's call.
We don't even know how old he is. Poor Brian.
Brian, what's up?
Barry, first of all, shame on you. Shame bell for you, sir. If we can even call you that. You're like a prepubescent boy PMSing. This month or something, you don't hit a fragile old man.
Brian, fragile? He put the dude in a headlock. Number one, he grabbed his arm, threw it up in the air, wrestling sleeper style, and then got him in a pretty sweet headlock and jostled him around. That's not fragile. I would never punch a fragile old man.
I know you're afraid. I know you're afraid of the old man strength. You know, because you're probably getting pretty close to yourself.
Hey, man, old men are strong, bro. Don't sleep on that.
Yeah, no way you come out on top of that fight.
No,
win or lose.
It's a no-win situation for that Packer fan. That's why I felt bad for him. But hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Listen, sometimes you got to punch an 80-year-old man in the face.
I'm an Aggie fan, and we got Aggies out here punching people in the pacemaker. So what do I know, Brian?
Now, if the guy in the shiny tights and the cutoff sweatshirt at the gym puts you in a headlock, then I would think you could punch him because he's working out.
That's a hate crime.
No, he's strong, that dude. Okay. This has gone off the rails again. Did you have a chance to watch this video yet where you're trying
of
to...
Of what?
Of Jimbo's nephew.
I think
you're going to see that, again, like we always say, the truth's going to come out over time. But as the truth comes out, like I said, Craig Thorpe, the one-time offensive coordinator and now the broadcaster for LSU, has recanted his statement that it was a punch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and said he didn't want. Not only did he not want to press charges, but he didn't want to talk about it anymore, and took back his initial statement.
So then, why was Kevin Faulk over here punching people if it wasn't a retaliation?
Did push him in the chest.
Oh, he shoved him.
And I will say this: it doesn't exclude Jimbo's nephew from blame because the video does show too that I sent you guys that after that, when Kevin Faulk came to his rescue and kind of stepped in, he threw a haymaker at Kevin Faulk, and that's where you're just a plain idiot.
Yeah.
You're going at an ex-NFL guy that's still obviously in decent shape, and you throw a haymaker, you deserve to get your face rearranged, but he did. At the time when he pushed Craig Thorpe,
exactly.
He wasn't looking, and the defensive, one of the current players for LSU, just sucker punched the hell out of him.
Aggie Tim, why is it all Aggies?
You have to ask that.
Aggie Tim said, bull bleep, I had to beat down a crazy old man that chased me down because he thought I flicked him off. His old ass was hitting me with his cane until I beat his ass.
Damn. Tim,
it's an Aggie thing.
Old people
How
get
did Tim
beat
not know that was Aggies, me?
By Aggies, huh?
How did Tim not know that was me?
You got your cane?
My cane and the fact that I don't like people flipping me off.
Oh, man. That's wild, Tim.
All right. So we've got some of that out of the way. Uh-oh. Barry, that's dangerous.
What? Oh.
Yeah, it's got to be OU, Mike. Let's see if the old man will hold, because we've got to get to a break. We've got 2 hours in the books. We still have 1 hour to go in the big show. That means there's plenty of opportunities for you to chime in. Plenty of topics still to talk about as we get into the final 60 minutes of the broadcast. And, of course, the Sports Mappers on 94.1 FM will be joining us next. Don't go anywhere. It is the usual suspects. That means it's ESPN 97.5. Candlelight, you and me. And a bottle
of wine to hold you tonight. ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.